Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2024 Shriners Children's Open. We're going to Las Vegas. This will be a fun one. Always a better group than usual for a fall event, but still, that doesn't say much for the group we're going to talk about. Just more of a, some guys like to come to Vegas to come play golf, let's put it that way. A lot of guys live in Vegas, so it makes it a little easier to do that. Before we get into that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. It's Monday, and it's definitely a Monday, but we are back at it, talking some golf. McCarty took down his first win in the desert, the Black Desert Championship. Crushed it on the Korn Ferry Tour towards the end of the year, picked up his first dub. We talked before the show. I saw a little bit. You didn't see much. Did you have Do you have any thoughts on it, or you ready to just go? Because yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I got nothing, man. I wanted to watch it. I meant to tune in, but I just did not have a chance this weekend at all whatsoever. So
it was full tilting DFS wise because I had a 3-max going, and at the end of Thursday, 6-6 was looking good. I was like 4-under with every guy. I'm like, sweet, let's roll. And then Trunk Slam City came into play on Friday. Like, I didn't play Keith Mitchell the week before when he finished like second place. Well, I said, screw it, I'll play him this week. He's coming in good form. Wide open golf course, why not? And he proceeds to shoot 6-over on Friday to miss the cut. That was impressive. Yeah. So a couple players did that for me to just pretty much take me out of the week. And I had a 5-6 and 2 4-6s after looking like I was going to cruise into the weekend there. But I digress. That is how this PGA DFS goes. But the other thing I'll ask you, just for funds, in December we're having the next match. I'm assuming you've seen that, with Rory and Scotty versus Brooks and Bryson.
Oh yes.
And it's going back to Shadow Creek in Vegas, which will be cool. Sweet.
Yes.
And the thing I found very, very interesting in this thing, it's not a PGA Tour event, and Scotty and Rory made sure to make that very clear in different press conferences to say this isn't a liver a PGA thing, this is a golf thing. And that I thought was very interesting to show that the money's, you know, coming from whatever sponsors come in, and that the PGA Tour basically has no say in this, is what I found very interesting. I think we need to have more stuff like that
coming. I agree.
Be looking forward to that. Shadow Creek's a cool golf course that, you know, if they can play at Black Desert, let's go play a tournament at Shadow Creek.
Right.
That sounds really cool.
100%.
All right. With all that being said, let's keep sticking with Vegas here, and let's talk about the Shriners Children's Open, a tournament we've seen for years in Vegas. So what do you got for some past event history?
Yeah, it's been played at Summerlin for a while now. Last year, Tom Kim was the champion, 20-under, one shot over Adam Hadwin. The year before that, 2022, Tom Kim was the champion, 24-under, three shots over Cantlay and Neesmith. 2021 was Sungjae, four shots over Matt Wolf. 2020 was Martin Laird for the second time. 2300 in a playoff over Austin Cook and Matt Wolf. 2019 was Kevin Na, 2300 in a playoff over Cantlay. Bryson won in 2018, one shot over Cantlay. Cantlay won this event in 2017. He's not in the field, doesn't really matter. That's pretty much all that matters.
Yeah, there used to be a slew of the same guys. Like, Cantlay would dominate this track. We've seen a couple guys, and we've got Tom Kim back-to-back years. I remember last year, the discourse was, there's no way that Tom Kim could do it twice in a row, and Tom Kim proceeded to do it twice in a row because this is a birdie fest, folks, and if you're one of the better players in the field, yes, it does allow other golfers to stick with you. It also allows you, if you're on your A game, to lap the field, ask Scottie Scheffler this season. So that does take place, and Tom Kim is definitely the cream of the crop in this field. You have to bear with me. I'm dealing with a cold right now, so I'll do my best here. But Jesse mentioned TPC Summerlin. It's a par 71, 7,250 yards. It's a it's a desert golf course that is very, very gettable. Birdie fest. And I need a sip of water. Sorry. Wow. All right. Jesse, what kind of key stats are you looking for? I'll get
I got you, man. I got you. Yeah, it's a classic PGA Tour birdie fest, as you could tell from the winning scores, 20 under, 23 under, 24 under. So it's very what we're normally used to seeing on the PGA Tour. So off the tee, I got weighted. Tee to green obviously matters every week. Approach matters every week. I do have around the green weighted this week as well. Par five scoring, I believe, matters. And then obviously obviously weight birdie or better more so than bogey avoidance, but plenty of course history to weight in there too if you have the capabilities to do that. Are you back a little bit?
I think so. I'm going to be in and out today.
That definitely sounds better.
That was a rough one there for a second, but we'll be in and out today.
It's all good.
But yeah, low score. It's a high altitude, so you're going to get to take advantage of that. There's going to be water out there, but for the most part, pretty wide fairways. You got Bermuda greens. These guys should be able to take advantage of things. There are a lot of bunkers, so I like the around the green call, as you mentioned. There's water on four holes, so it's not super crazy, like I said. It's basically find the fairways, wedge fest, take advantage of the par fives because those are going to score in bunches. You're going to want to definitely take full advantage of that. We've even seen scores as low as 11 under in rounds here. So as Jesse mentioned, it's a birdie fest, and you'll have to take full advantage of that. And I want to say this is one of those that a couple years ago, the cut line was like 6 or 7 under par, and I was ready to break things because it was just ridiculous. So we'll have to see how that takes place this year because that's out of our control. But let's talk DK here, and we'll talk about our top picks at each price point as usual. And in the 10K range, we only have three guys this week, Jesse. The defending champ, Tom Kim, is at 10-8. Davis Thompson's up to 10-3. And Taylor Pendrith is at 10-2. So how do you break down this wonderful group of players?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Tom Kim, back-to-back champion. You know, there's no way he can do it three times in a row, right? You know, so, his form coming in, I mean, it's not like he was playing insane golf last year. He did have a lot of fun at the President's Cup and I think played some decent golf there. But I think really the only guy that I really care to play up here is Taylor Pendrith. Third here last year, 47th and 21. Come off an 8th place finish at the Tour Championship. We had a really, really solid end of the season there. So should have a lot of confidence going into this week, especially with the 3rd place finish last year. I think Taylor would be my one target up here. But it's one of those weeks where I most likely will not be above, 10K. I will not be playing any of these guys, but that's who I would target if I was.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping Tim gets a bunch of ownership because I think he's a great play. Could he win? Definitely. No doubt about it. Wouldn't be shocked. Love the Pendrith call. You mentioned his recent form. He finished, like you said, 14th of the Tour Championship, 13th of the BMW, but he's finished well here, as like you mentioned as well, third, made all three cuts. He's also had just a great year last year. We saw on courses that he could bombs away where there's wider fairways. We saw him, down there in Texas take advantage of those kind of courses. So this is a really good spot here for Taylor Pendrith. So I don't mind that at all. If you got to make a case for David Thompson, the biggest thing would be like his par five scoring. He's always dominates par fives. His around the green game is very, very strong of late. It's just a matter of can he get the wedge fest going? Because that's always a difficult part of his consistency, one would say. But Kim and Pendrith would be the two I'd be definitely taking a look at here. 9K range, you got Jägerbombs at 99, coming off a nice week there in the Black Desert. Tom Hoagie at 98, Kurt Kitayama at 97. Bo Hosser's been having a heck of a fall swing at 95. Seamus Power at 93, Keith Mitchell at 92. Keith goes from back-to-back 10K plus weeks to a miscut to 92. That is entertaining. the champion last week, Matthew McCarty at 91, and Eric Cole comes in at $9,000. This is a good reason to probably skip the 10K range.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty to play here. Start with Hoagie at 8,900. The course history is mixed. He did miss the cut here last year. Does have some made cuts here, but coming off a 7th place finish his last time out at the Pro Core Championship in California. Bo Hosler, yep, been playing very solidly, and it's played really well around this track. 7th last year. Hasn't missed a cut since before 2017. It's as far back as I've got there. In 11th last week, did miss the cut at the Pro Core, but 12th at the Wyndham. He started so hot at the Wyndham. And there was there another tournament where he was like first round leader more recently, like in September? Am I missing something there?
If it was, it would have been overseas. I don't have Euro scores.
Well, but I was thinking it was something more recent.
I think that's the Pro Cure, where he was near the top right out the gate.
Well, he starts 71-70 according to Fancy Labs here. Missed the cut. Shot 60 at the Wyndham, I'm assuming, to lead at the first day. So that's got to be what I was thinking about, but I just think it was more recent. So,
because I have him finishing seventh at the Pro Cure.
Yeah. I mean, that's what. Okay. Oh, you haven't finished in seventh at the Pro Core?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was then. So, yeah, this is not correct. Yeah, that's not what he did there. I was thinking he, yeah. And then, I mean, Matthew McCarty at 9,100 off the win. We were talking about him before. I'd never heard of this guy. Don't follow Korn Ferry Tour golf probably as well as I should, if I'm going to talk about golf in general. But, obviously, coming off a win, he had a really good end to the Korn Ferry season. So playing solid golf, confidence has to be ultra high, and a similar type of golf course in the desert this week. So why not, you know, play a little bit of him at 9,100?
Yep. Don't blame you at all. Right, the hot streak while he's got it. Jaeger Bonds will be in play for me once again, $9,900. Like, if I look at my model, he's 72nd. So hopefully others' models make that look rough. Finished second last week, 23rd. At the Sanderson, he finished 44th here 2 years ago. The course history isn't great, but he's played well in Scottsdale also. That's a desert-type course. That's one thing that comes into play here at the Shriners. So don't mind me some Jaeger Bonds. Love Hoagie. I think a lot of people love Hoagie, so I'm with you there. Kurt Kitayama, number one in my model. He's also from or lives in Vegas, so this is a big one for him. When you're talking about 150 to 175 shots, he's fifth in the field. 175 to 200. He's first in the field over the last 24 rounds. So his approach game is on point. He's great on the shorter par fours, which there's a handful of on this golf course. And he just avoids the big numbers very, very well. So Kitayama is a great one at 97. Love Bo Hostler for the things you mentioned. He's 15th in my model. I mean, now, Seamus Power.
With Bo, real quick, I did look. He did miss the cut at the Pro Core. I think you were looking at
Hoagie. Oh, I was looking at Hoagie. Sorry.
Yes. He was seventh there. But yeah.
My bad.
That's all good. That's all good.
Yeah. And then Seamus. Seamus is 12th in my model. And this one stood out to me when I saw 12th. And then I looked at a couple other things, and it kind of makes sense because Seamus finished 11th at the Black Desert, 11th at the Sanderson Farms, and then the 10th at FedEx. So his last three tournaments, 11th, 11th, 10th. I know he's played overseas also, so there's probably a few more in there. But then you also look at tournament, you know, miscut 21st. So the course history is not great, but the current form is really good. And his approach game has been on point. He avoids the big number. So Seamus at 93 could be very interesting. You mentioned McCarty. And then always in a GPP, I'm always interested in Eric Cole just because he can blow up in good ways and bad ways. He finished 16th at the Sanderson Farms. But you're missing the cut at the Pro Cure. That's Eric Cole in a nutshell to me. And at this tournament, finished third here last year after missing the cut the year before. He's always viable to shoot like 8-under or 4-over. That's just the way Eric Cole works. So fun tournament play. This is a range you can definitely have some differentiation that I like quite a bit in the 9K range. 8K, you got Hadwin, Cam Davis, Matt McNeely, Harry Hall, Ben Griffin, JT Poston, Jonathan Vegas. No association to the tournament. What do you like in this range?
Hadwin, 8,900. Finished second here last year, which is obviously nice to see. Coming off of 41st, the BMW, 50th, St. Jude. So, I mean, his end of season wasn't great, but he's got a pretty good track record around here, including a sixth place finish in 21, fourth in 2019. So, plenty of top tens. Harry Hall at 8,400, two out of two made cuts here, at least that I have. I, for some reason, 22 is not listed here. So, I'm not exactly sure what happened in 2022, but 2023 finished 26th. 2008, he finished eighth. He's come off 35th last week. Been playing also over in Europe, where he's got two consecutive top 20s on the European Tour. So playing solid golf. And that's it for me in the 8K range.
Yep.
So very short range this week, is it not?
Weirdly enough, I started saying it, I didn't say the prices because usually it's long. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That's not.
Yeah, I didn't understand how you got to Vegas so quick until I re-looked at it and was like, wait, there's
a drop off. The drop off. Love Hadwin as well. Kind of playing some funky golf, as you mentioned, like not the consistent, just make cut, might contend, might not contend guy. He hasn't played in this fall swing, which maybe is a good thing, but you know, finished the season kind of okay. Wasn't like tearing the cover off the ball by any means, But you mentioned the course history here is amazing. When you have four top tens in your last five events teeing it up here, that's pretty good at that price point. That'll probably lead to Adam Haddon Chalk as well. So just be prepared for that. This is another kind of, like I mentioned how Eric Cole can kind of thrive in this. I like Cam Davis even more in an event like this at $8,800. It's a dude that he can rip it with his driver. It's also a shorter course. So the volatility in the driver we've talked about many times on this show goes to the three wood to dominate in that regard. And it just brings Cam Davis into a whole different level of play. So that makes him interesting to me. He hasn't played in the fall swing either, but finished fifth at the BMW the last time he teed it up. He was playing much better towards the end of the season for Cam Davis. Finished seventh here last year. He's made four straight cuts at this event. So I find Cammy Davis pretty interesting. Harry Hall, everything you mentioned, I'm a big fan of that. Ben Griffin's up to $8,200, and I think rightfully so. 11th last week, 37th at the Sanderson, but also a guy that's miscut, but 60th. So the course history is not great. But he had a really strong, like, overall 2024 season. Technically, this is the fall swing of 24, but the regular season, Ben Griffin played really well. So $8,200, I'd be good with him. And then JT Poston, if you like course history, Poston's got some pretty good course history. If that's your bag, current form, it's up and down, but that's JT Poston in a nutshell as well. All right, bigger range here. 75 to 79, you got Harry English, JJ Spahn, Matthias Schmidt, who had a good week last week, Kevin Yu, EVR, Andrew Putnam, Chan Kim, Ryan Fox, Eckroat, Thorbjornsson, who withdrew last week, Fowler, and Svensson. 75 to $7,900. Jesse, who do you like here?
Yeah, Harris English. The course history is not great. He did finish fourth here in 2016, but coming off a sixth-place finish last week, I also liked him. I think the week before he played at the Sanderson, I want to say, and for some reason, they don't have the Sanderson loaded here. So.
I can let you know if you need something.
For Harris Sanderson, yeah, he played there, didn't he?
Missed the cut.
Perfect. Yeah, great. So really want to mention that. Anyways, like Harris this week. Matty Schmidt is $7,800. 26th here last year, coming off a fifth-place finish last week. He's been playing really solid golf. Hasn't missed a cut since the Scottish Open back in mid-June or July. Putnam at $7,700. Didn't miss the cut here last year, but has a couple top 20s in previous appearances. In his last time out at the Pro Corps, he finished 44th. Chan Kim at 76 has never played here, but coming in, the model likes him, and he has made at least three cuts in a row. Again, I don't have the Sanderson for whatever reason loaded on here, but yeah, that's it for me in the above 7,500 range there.
Yeah, Chan Kim was 33rd at the Sanderson, so, and Chan Kim like came out guns blazing to start the Black Desert and just kind of faded, but still made it for the weekend, obviously. So he's an interesting one as well. That's one I don't mind. The tough one for me is JJ Spahn. He's third in my model. He's $7,900. Like, he's first in approach in the last 24 rounds. Second in double, but if you like avoid the big numbers, which you have to do here, he's like 20 to 30 in almost every other stat, which is very, very consistently good. But then you look at Spahn, 25th last week, withdrawal 26th. Okay, for $7,900, that's not bad. He withdrew the week. He was $1 million. So that was fun. And then you just look at his recent form here, though, 46th, 15th, 35th. So 33 straight made cuts. Makes JJ Spahn kind of interesting at $7,900. So kind of into that. Love Schmidt at 78. The form coming in is outstanding, like you mentioned. EVR at 77, kind of interesting. Only four water holes, which is a plus for EVR. 43rd last week after starting out really good. That's the downside. He showed really good form, just couldn't put it together for four rounds. 23rd here last year. So EVR could be one of those tournament play guys, not an automatic. I'd rather have Putnam at 77 for all the things you mentioned, that course history is big here. And then the other guy I'll mention is Adam Svensson at $7,500, 27th in my model. He's sixth around the green, like you mentioned. You like that around the green earlier. Par four is 4 to 450. He's 10th. The approach shots, he's very, very strong in this field. 25th at the Black Desert, miscut at Sanderson, 13th at the Pro Cure. So two out of three top 25s in the last three events, then 18th here last year. So Svensson's a guy I can put my money behind as well. All right, 7K to $7,400. I am not reading that list. So what do you like here, Jesse?
Start with Cooch at $7,300. He didn't play here last year, but, and I'm not sure what he did in 22, but had missed a cut before that and had a couple top 10s. And is coming off, you know, three straight top 15s. Patton Kizzire at 7,300 has a win recently, obviously at the Pro Corps, and has played here a bunch. Missed a cut twice since 2016, so and has one top five sprinkled in there. Doug Gim at 7,300 missed the cut here last year, but has been playing solid golf. 25th last week. He had a lot of greens out there and was really good around the green. And the par five scoring was pretty decent too last week. Webb Simpson, I don't know why, but the course history, a lot of make cuts for Webb out here. 46th last year, 21, he was miscut, but before that it was 13th, 7th, 15th, 20th, 31st. He did make the cut, the Pro Corps, so maybe he's turning the page. Patrick Fishburne missed the cut last week, but before that was 3rd at the Pro Corps, and I think he played Sanderson, but again, I don't have that loaded, so not sure what his finish was there. And then Norlander at 7,000. Seems like this is a really bad price on him. I mean, he was 7,200 last week in a worse field, finished 8th. He was 6,800 at the Pro Court, 60 and finished 61st. So, I mean, he's played here enough. He's made at least three cuts in a row, or at least he's made three cuts since 2020. And again, I don't know what happened in 22, but I like Hendrick Norlander quite a bit at 7,000. I think you're muted.
Trying to save the listeners from me coughing, but there you go. I say Norlander finished 28th at the Sanderson, so you got that going for you as well. For me, in this range, $7,400. Emiliano Grillo, he's 34th in my model. Finished 11th at the Sanderson Farms, didn't play Black Desert or Procure, but he missed the cut here last year, and then 73rd, 47th, 34th the first three previous seasons. Played at a decent finish to 2024 is the best way I'll put it. Cooch at 73, like him as well. He's 10th in my model, so I can get behind everything you're saying there. It's like third and good drives. He's going to find the fairways. He's going to wedge it together, do just enough. Patton Kizzire, he's 9th in my model at 73. Like you said, won the Procure. Playing really good golf right now for Kizzire. Three straight made cuts on the fall swing. And if you go even deeper with Kizzire, 46th and 23, 75th, missed cut 24th, 42nd. So 4 to 5 made cuts at this event. Going cheaper, Dougie Gim. You mentioned 2nd in my model, so I'll support everything you said about his recent form and all the goods there because he just continues to be awesome. Daniel Berger at 72. He's 39th in my model. His wedge game's getting a little better. 35th last week, 7th at the Sanderson Farms after missing the cut at the Procure. So back-to-back pretty good showings for Berger. Hasn't played here since 2020 where he finished 18th. That was a different Daniel Berger. I know we can all discuss that too. But back-to-back made cuts. Looks like he might be coming together a little bit here, which is good to see. And I'll take that chance at $7,200 for Daniel Berger. Alex Smalley at $7,100. He's 20th in my model. 7th off the tee. 12th in par fours, 4 to 450. And if you go deeper on Smalley, 25th at the Black Desert, 5th at Sanderson before a miscut at the Procure. So back-to-back solid finishes for Smalley. And he finished 61st here last year, 47th in 2022. So not the best of finishes, but putting things together. And then Nick Taylor, I don't hate. Mark Hubbard is always a great GPP play, especially if you look at course history here with Hubs. That's why miscut 28th, 44th, miscut 42nd. So 3 out of 4 years, 5 years he's made the cut. Love the Norlander call. I'll completely agree with you there. And then two more guys. At 7K, Chesson Hadley, he's made 4 out of 5 cuts, 7th place last year. And Nick Hardy's made back-to-back cuts here. And I think with Nick Hardy, both of them have made all 3 cuts this fall swing, which is big. Now Hadley 64th, 55th, 50th. Hardy, on the other hand, 8th last week, 28th of the Sanderson. Putting in some good form there with Nick Hardy. He was 21st on my model where, Hadley's 96. So Hadley's playing good enough golf to make the cut, probably not help you win a GPP. Hardy could find his way and win a GPP. He's 5th in good drives. He's 5th in approach. So he's really putting it together. It's just a matter of can he put it all together at once. $1 million question, but he's $7,000. So I think Nick Hardy's a fun, cheap option this week. All right, 6K range. Jesse, what are you liking here?
Neesmith, 6,900. He's got the course history here. He finished 2nd here. Didn't he 1 year? Did I say that? Yeah, last year, two years ago, finished 2nd in 2022. And otherwise, hasn't missed a cut since 2019. Has another top 10 in 2020. So has played solidly around here. The form coming in isn't necessarily ideal, but we're in the $6,900 range here. Rico Hui, if I could get this to load, is another guy. Joe Highsmith. I'm just going to kind of list some guys off here without going too in depth. Chad Ramey, Grayson Sig is very high up my model. So at $6,700, I like him quite a bit. And then Joel Dahlman at 66, and that's the end of my list.
We have a lot of the same guys. K.H. Lee, always a perplexing one, 76th in my model, but I'll always look into him at a TPC course. He finds ways to navigate some of these. Like he can run real hot here. He's made two straight cuts in the fall swing. And at this golf course, there's Neesmith. There's K.H. Lee. He's made three straight cuts, including a seventh last year, 37th, and a 14th. So three really strong finishes for K.H. Lee. So I like him quite a bit at $6,900. You mentioned Highsmith at 69. Like him quite a bit, coming in really good form. Neesmith, same things you mentioned. Chad Ramey, $6,800 is another guy. 21st at the Black Desert, withdrew from Sanderson, 58th at the Procure. So after the withdrawal, came back and played pretty well. Again, he's made three straight cuts here, a 46th, a 28th, and a 14th. So not bad for your tournament plays. We get that 28th or the 14th in there. Adam Schenck, form in, not great. Course history, pretty good. You did miss the cut here last year, but prior to that, 12th, 3rd, 27th, 18th. That is pretty good form from Schenck. And, but yeah, didn't play last week, missed both cuts in the fall. So pick your poison. You like course history or recent form? You mentioned Sig, like Sig a lot. Ryan Moore's recent form sucks. His course history is amazing. So if you want to go him at 66, with you on Dominant at 66, really plays well at this golf course. And then there's Laird. I did want to mention a couple punt plays, though. One guy we talked about a lot last year, Jesse, Will Gordon, is $6,300, 35th of the Black Desert, 48th at Sanderson. Again, $6,300 for Will Gordon. And if you look at history here, missed cut 44th. So see what you want to do there. Obviously, I like the Rico Hui call, by the way. I've been playing him a lot lately for cheap. But I think there's a lot of good dart throws in the 6K range just because it's the 6K range in a tournament like this. But none you have to like lock in, I don't think. All right, let's recap things real quick. 10K range, you got three guys. Who you like here?
Pendrith.
Yeah, I'll say Tom Kim. I don't think I'm gonna play any of these guys, but I'll say Tom Kim. 9K range. Who do you like?
I'm gonna say Hoagie.
It's a really, really good range. I'm gonna go with Kitayama. He's my number one in my model. Better stick to that. Who do you like in the 8K range? The big, big 8K range.
Harry Hall.
I like the Hall call. I will go with Cam Davis on this one. 75 to 79.
Chan Kim.
Chan Kim. I will go with Matthias Schmid. 7K to 74.
Norlander.
Norlander's good. I'll go Dougie Gim. 6K range.
Grayson Sig.
I will go with Sig's a good value too. I will go with Highsmith. Highsmith is 69. All right. If you're building cash this week, where would you start in cash?
I'd probably go Harry Hall, Putnam, and like Cam Davis, since you like him so much.
That's pretty good. Like I think Hadwin's a good cash play. Just on the course history, like might not do it all, but should make the cut. Like, Hadwin, Kuchar, Griffin or Hall. I think there's like that 8K range. You can almost just make it there, and I think you'll do okay. But
yeah,
it's probably foolish thinking, but you never know. It looks really positive, at least making the cut. GPP though, not so much. Where would you start your GPP lineups?
Yeah, I go McCarty, Harris English, McCarty. And Berger. I think I have a pretty bad story. Well, not bad story. With the last podcast that we did, I almost bet Daniel Berger, and then he shot back-to-back 65, so he was in the lead. He was in the toward the top there and had a chance, and, of course, didn't play like shit on Sunday. But I was ready to really kick myself for not mentioning it, and then I didn't mention it, and he didn't win. So there you go.
There you go. All righty. That worked out in a roundabout way. I'm going to go with Kitayama, Cam Davis, and Matthias Schmid. That'd be the start to my three-pack. All right. Who do you like to win this week?
I have made some bets here. At 40, I got Harris English and Harry Hall. 70, Berger.
I like that.
I'm just going to start betting him until he wins. So it could be 5 or 6, 10 years. Might go broke. Yeah. And then Grayson Sigg.
He'll be your Ricky Fowler.
Yeah. Grayson Sigg and Norlander also at 90. So I've got those five bets.
Those are pretty solid numbers. And again, in a field like this, makes a lot of sense. I'll throw some top 20s out there, though, to have some fun with it. Deeper down the board of Clark's Burgers plus 240, the top 20. I like that quite a bit. If you want to put just a little scratch on that. A couple other guys, Nick Hardy at plus 280. Grayson Sigg at plus 280. Those are some I like quite a bit. The top 20. I'll give you two more to make a round five on this. Man, Michael Kim's in the field. That's fun. I don't know. Adam Schenck at plus 400. If you like course history but not recent form, that's your million-dollar question right there. But we'll go with a super long shot. Give me Will Gordon at plus 600. See where that goes. But I like those first three for sure. Those first three at plus 240 to 280. I think those are pretty solid. All right, Jesse, we're going to wrap it up there. Any final thoughts before we have another event next week at the Zozo, which I'll have to check. Is it back in Vegas or where did that – he's moving around so much.
It is in China, in Japan.
Oh, they moved it back. Okay.
Yeah, not China, but it's in Chiba, Japan. So at first and said China, but it's not China.
It was back there last year, I think. I think last year was the first year back now I think about it.
Yep.
Yeah, for a couple of years, they had to keep it stateside for obvious reasons.
Right. Yep. Zozo is over there.
Sweet.
So I think there's it's next week, right?
Yep. That'll be a Wednesday night time.
Block. Yeah. I'm with you. Okay. So, yep. There you go.
All right. We'll be back with you guys next week, barring scheduling situations, to preview the Zozo. Usually that's a no-cut event, our favorites. So we'll have fun with that as well. But if you have any questions, Jesse's on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm Matt Beattie Intrick. Thanks for struggling through my cough fit at the beginning. But this was your 2024 Shriners Children's Open preview. Catch you.